passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Back, started the show a couple hours ago with Hugh Freeze. We've had a couple of outstanding players, one from Mississippi State, the other from Ole Miss. We still have Blake Topmeyer, who was in Orlando last night on the debacle there. And let's get back to the calls right now. CJ is in Virginia. Hello, CJ.
Hey, Paul. Not a lot of bloviating today, but I'm calling not to bloviate, of course, but to walk a few LSU fans from the ledge. You know, it's easy to be down on the Tigers right now, but Brian Kelly is still, he's building a great program, and this was one game. And you know, you were asking me last time I called, I haven't had a call in a while, but about some sticks in my craw about Alabama. You know, and one of the things that really bothered me then was when Legend was talking about Brian Kelly, and I know he's going to call up later and bloviate about Alabama and talk bad about LSU and Brian Kelly. But Brian Kelly's building a great, great program, and people like him don't know what he's doing behind the scenes. You know, he's building the foundation. It's going to – and what's heard Augie saying, like, Kelly's not recruiting well. Kelly is recruiting very, very well. I mean, we had, like, the number one player in the nation in the 2025 class visit LSU 3 times 4 months with his parents. Now, I mean, it's early in the game. It's between us and Michigan. He's from Michigan. But, you know, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. It's one game. It sucked, but we're going to learn. We're going to grow from it. And I want to do a preemptive strike against the Legend. I know he's going to call later, talking his stuff. I just want to wish him a happy Mother's Day because he's a mother. And roll Tide, roll Paul, around the bowl, roll Tide, roll. We're coming for you. We coming for Bama. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Wow. Les Miles calling there from the peanut gallery. Chuck is in Virginia. Hello, Chuck.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum.
Good afternoon.
I was watching the UNC and USC game the other night, and Greg McElroy made the statement that the Pac-12 from top to bottom is the deepest league in the sport, and I was just wanting your opinion on that.
Well, I don't pay much attention to overreactions on the first weekend of the season. I think the Pac-12 is very good, and you know, in terms of depth, what does that mean? I'll take the SEC, and it was a rough first weekend while the Pac-12 was the talk of the country, but let's see where Colorado is in a couple weeks. Let's see where the Arizona schools are. Let's see where Oregon State and Washington State and UCLA. It's I'm not going to say anything else about that comment.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
Of course, I am paid to promote the SEC. I'm just kidding. I'm really not paid to promote Alabama. Alan is in. Is up next in Valdosta. Hello, Alan.
Hey, Paul. You're looking great, man. You're looking great. I watch the show a lot.
Thank you.
Last week, I spent a lot of time waiting. And to your tribute, I called a couple about a month ago, 6 weeks ago, hung up the phone, and another Valdosta called me up and said, "Is that you on the phone?"
That's great.
We talked over an hour and talked to him in years. You know, said stuff today, but you made a comment about being on the campus for football games, right?
Right.
Being on the campus. Well, last year, I went and saw Mike Leach standing on the hash mark.
Right.
And he's pointing at the cowbell end. And I said to myself, "Oh, my word." And he's got his team gathered around on the hash mark. I said, "Oh, my word. What in the world is he drawing up in his mind to run on the Kirby Smart defense at this point in time?" So So Mike Leach was always a puzzle for defensive players and coaches, I'm sure. You know, and the tribute I saw this afternoon, Monday, about Mike Leach being there, that's an awesome job by y'all. By y'all, Paul. Thanks for doing that.
Thank you very much, Al. Great to hear from you. You be well. You take care of yourself. How about Robert up next in Tennessee? Hello, Robert.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
We are well. Thank you.
All right. My question is, how far do you see Tennessee going with the defense they had the other day and the run game?
I think Tennessee could get to 10 wins. I don't think Tennessee is quite ready to get to the playoffs this year. I think this is more of a bridge season between last year and next year. But I do know, being with a lot of Tennessee people over the weekend in Nashville, that this program is recruiting so well. And I think, you know, even Josh Heupel has already shown he can turn good players into great players. And I think that's what they need to beat Georgia this year. Thank you for the call. Thank you very much. Jake, it's Labor Day. Jake is up next. What do you got, Jake?
Hey, Jake, we're gonna double dip here on the Vol talk. I'd love to get your opinion on these Condridge Holloway commemorative jerseys they've got. I don't know if you've seen them on the social network, but I was scrolling on Instagram today and saw they had the orange panels on the shoulder pads again, and I don't know. I'm kind of a newer fan. I'm a younger guy, and I wasn't around for the Condridge Holloway days, but I love the new take on the smoky grays. I liked the look when Butch Jones kind of implemented it in his time, but I don't know. I think it's a good way for us to kind of get that bad taste out of our mouth and get a new take on the smoky grays, and just interesting to hear a lot of the old heads. A lot of people aren't super happy about it. I wanted to kind of hear your opinion on it and what you think of the look. I'm a huge fan.
Jake, I got to Tennessee after Condridge Holloway, but I did get to know him and cheer for him briefly and have spoken to him over the years, and I think that's fantastic. He's a very consequential player in Tennessee history. He continues to make a difference in terms of his legacy, and I'm really glad to see that happen. Speaking of Butch Jones,
yes.
Not to punch down or anything, but he's a coach at Arkansas State, and they opened the season at Norman. See the game?
No.
Lost 73-0.
No. Goose eggs.
Butch Jones' tenure as a head coach is the end is near. Wow, 73-0.
No.
Tom is in Arizona. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
We are doing great.
Hey, so we just wanted to call from out here in Arizona, see if you saw Drew Aller and the Penn State Nittany Lions taking on West Virginia. I think we might have a stud of a quarterback in the making up in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I thought he was fantastic, and I'm a believer in Penn State this year. And they have an opportunity to be on the cusp of the playoffs. I won't go any farther than that, knowing how good Ohio State and Michigan are. But can they win? I think it's the Michigan game at home this year. Can they win that game? They're going to have to. Otherwise, they're in the toughest. What the guy said a minute ago about the Pac-12. That is the toughest division, I think, in football. I mean, to have to deal with Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan. That's the toughest one to win. It may not be the deepest, but that's certainly the toughest one to win. Devin is in Louisiana. Hello, Devin.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are great. Thank you.
Good, good. Happy Labor Day to you guys. Hey, I just wanted to get on here and first off say, I'm from Louisiana. Obviously, I'm an LSU fan. But I want to get on here and say to the Florida State fans, you guys have an awesome team. I think Florida State is a playoff caliber team this year. Their quarterback is outstanding. And last night, LSU got their ass kicked. From an LSU fan to the nation, there's no excuses. We got our butts kicked, plain and simple. The second half, we looked like we didn't care. And I know the Notre Dame fan base right now is foaming at the mouth that, you know, Baton Rouge has fallen to pieces because we lost one game. Well, to the Notre Dame fan base, how about y'all just worry about y'all in South Bend? Just worry about y'all have a great team this year. Y'all have a good quarterback this year. I think Notre Dame's going to go really far this year. But the negativity, my goodness, foaming at the mouth because a man loses his first game. LSU is the only team in the country that played a team worth a damn. They played Florida State, and we got our butts kicked. But that's all I got to say.
You know, Devin, thank you for the call. And I think that's the most accurate phone call of the night. It's really simple. It was terrible across the board, and Brian Kelly blamed himself. I appreciate that. I respect that. He didn't blame the chain crew for eating a hot dog. For those who missed it, we'll update you on why the hot dog jokes continue to be a theme during our Labor Day show. We'll take a short break. We're back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And Daryl is up next. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, Paul. Well, week one in the books. Who are you most impressed with?
Alabama.
Alabama, really? Wow.
Within the SEC.
I was most impressed with Tennessee. Okay. I thought Tennessee's win was, I guess, you know, a pretty good opponent, was very impressive. Who were you least most impressed
with?
Well,
I was least impressed by Florida first and tied with LSU.
I would throw, I'd have to throw TCU in there also as being least impressed.
I don't consider TCU even worth talking about anymore.
Hey, man, I'm with legend on this. I have been with legend on this the entire way. I've never bought into Brian Kelly, okay? Never have bought into Brian. I know he carried LSU to the SEC title game last year, but that loss, that was a game right there for Florida State or LSU to make a statement as being one of the top four teams in the country. And it's hard to believe that LSU will run the table now the rest of the way. They're pretty much done with one loss because you're not going to get in with two losses. It's just hard to believe. Florida State looked good. As far as Georgia, we didn't look very good first half. Picked it up. Final score looked good. But, you know, we were vanilla on offense. We were without some starters. Dante Edwards out. Rosemont Jack Saint out because of speeding. We had another McConkie was out. But defense looked really good. But offense, there's still some things there that's going to have to improve if Georgia's going to get back to the SEC title game. But again, you can't really take a lot from playing a team like that. Would you agree with that, Paul?
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. And everyone's entitled to their opinion, but for anyone to think that Brian Kelly is not a top flight coach, they simply don't understand college football.
Well, I ain't saying he won a top flight coach, Paul. I'm just saying last night was an opportunity when you opened up the season.
They lost.
And it came like that.
I mean, but
a big time game.
Unlike everyone else in the country, they played a legitimate.
To win that game. So you lose that game.
Tell me this.
Knowing that two losses.
Hey, Daryl, slow down a second.
It's pretty much you're not going to get into the playoff with two losses. I mean, that's, you know, that's just
makes it that much
tougher. Daryl, tell me
how many schools would have beaten Florida State last night? Can you name them?
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. But still, you know, I mean, that's a very good – Florida State looked good. Florida State looked good. But do you think LSU will run the table the rest of the way?
No, not a chance.
Then with two losses, they're not going to get a playoff here, right? Probably not.
I mean, right now, I think LSU would be lucky to have two losses.
And then they're probably not going to get in the playoffs
LSU right now is no guarantee to get out of Starkville alive.
Wow. That bad? Wow. I didn't think they were that bad. I thought Florida State has just got a really good football team.
Well,
I thought that quarterback they got.
But you have to wonder,
really
though,
good.
From a confidence standpoint.
They got a good football. They're going to be a team to contend with this year. Definitely. All the hype about them is obviously true. They got a football team.
Daryl, not only that, they have Starkville. They have a trip to Starkville and Oxford. They need to quit worrying about making the SEC championship game in the playoffs. They need to survive the month of September right now because of the way they played last night. Let's continue and check in with Connor in Colorado. Hello, Connor.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Good. So Coach Prime He's coming. Colorado's going to beat Nebraska. And you know what? His son, he's the real deal. And I think CU's going to surprise a lot of people.
They can't. They're capable of it, but don't read too much into beating TCU. That team looked completely out of sorts. The question is, did TCU look better against Colorado or against Georgia? They look like garbage. They at least scored against Colorado in the second half. Their defense was simply out to lunch. Thanks for the call. How about Tim? Who do we got here? Cecil is in Florida. Hello, Cecil. Go right ahead.
Hey, happy Labor Day to everybody up there, Paul. And listen, what I want to say, a couple of things. I think LSU might be a little bit overrated. The Florida State quarterback is really, really good. And also, I believe that if Alabama or Notre Dame was rated number one going into the opening game of the season, that they would be on a TV station that most people could watch, as opposed to the dogs that most of the country couldn't watch. But that's okay, because they never get the respect they do. But we'll get the respect again when we win it all again in January. And my last item is, I've got it on good authority that when Legend was in prison, he was the wife. Go Dawgs.
I know you're laughing, Paul.
Hey, Trey, good afternoon.
I give you a chance to laugh. Hey, Paul, tell Daryl he's worried about LSU with two losses. Georgia ain't getting in with their one loss this year. That's what he needs to worry about. But did I hear Augie say he's not overreactionary and don't go overboard after the way he dogged that LSU team this year, baseball team this year? Did I hear that from Augie, Paul?
You heard that correctly.
Oh, my gosh. And I don't know what Augie's talking about the defensive back. Paul, I told you all year I didn't believe that LSU hype. They'd be three losses. It's all because they beat Alabama, Paul, and I told you that defense is going to hurt them all year. They'll finish third or fourth in the West. And I don't know what CJ means when he says it's just one game. You know, sometimes, Paul, that's a true statement, but it's the way you look. They got bullied in the second half. Especially running the football. They were bullied and overwhelmed. But, Paul, I want to ask you a question about Alabama and Milroe. I'm not going to get all overhyped about it, but I thought Milroe looked pretty good. I know the team they played was, not up to par with Alabama, but I thought he had some pretty good zip on the ball, and he led his receivers pretty well, and he stepped up in the pocket pretty well. And those are the kind of things that I look for in Milroe. But we'll find out more about Alabama this year, Paul. But I told you, I wasn't on that LSU train all year, and that defense, they give up 30, 40 points a game last year. So, and I thank you for being here today, and you need to give Jamari today off after what he goes through on the other end. I can't believe you got him working today, Paul.
Thank you, Trey. By the way, I thought Milroe was phenomenal. He, and especially with so many doubters, and now a lot of folks are standing in line supporting Milroe, but that wasn't the case the other day. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Jason is in Arkansas. Jason, go right ahead.
How you doing, Paul?
Hey there.
Just want to talk about the Razorbacks for a minute, and I'm probably the only sober one that's called today.
You're close to being the only one.
What do you think about that old boy that bounced off of KJ like he just somebody threw a bag of potatoes up against him?
Yeah, KJ looked great, and I think he just never gets – talk about, you know, this ridiculous Georgia fan – upset about respect. How about giving KJ some respect? You're absolutely right.
And I think he's an awesome quarterback, Paul, and I think the run game's going to be just fine. And if we ever tune up our secondary, we're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And what I want to say is all them snaggletooth people in Alabama and LSU better get ready, because we're coming with authority.
Well, great to hear. Thank you. We head to the break. Blake Topmeyer in the stadium last night. We'll get his take on what this loss means to Brian Kelly, also about what he thought about Billy Napier's woeful debut for season two. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Okay, we've talked to Coach Hugh Freeze today, a couple of really outstanding young players. Let's get some analysis. Blake Topmeyer for USA Today, watching the game last night in Orlando. Blake, thanks for the time. Can't wait to get your reaction to what you saw.
Well, I mean, Brian Kelly called it a total failure call, and on that point, I agree with LSU's coach. Now, he included himself in that total failure. His team, his staff, himself, he included everybody, and as well he should have. I mean, look, Florida State's a really good team. We know that. It might be the best team in the ACC. I know this is at risk of week one overreaction, but I thought they were a playoff contender coming into the season. I think it even more so coming out of that game. But LSU, you know, had some real problems revealed. Brian Kelly said before the season that he had concerns about LSU's depth and its secondary play, and I thought that got exposed in the second half. LSU looked gassed on defense. They couldn't generate enough pass rush on Jordan Travis after halftime, and when he had a comfortable pocket, he and those athletic receivers were picking LSU apart in that patchwork secondary. But another thing, Paul, I thought Jaden Daniels looked like he regressed. I thought he missed a lot of reads out there, missed some reads on fourth down plays that were really critical in that game. And that's the way he was at the beginning of last year. We saw against Florida State last year, he was like one read, maybe two reads, and if it wasn't there, take off and run. And then he developed, so we thought, as a passer throughout last season. And I didn't think we saw the continuation of that development last night. The team that had the better coaching performance won. The team that had the better quarterback certainly won. And I thought the team that won up front at the line of scrimmage was the winner in that game. I mean, really, Florida State was the better team in pretty much every phase of the game.
Blake Topmeyer with us. Blake, there's just too much to unpack to go over every story in the SEC. And I'm going to save Florida for the end, so I'll give you a break on that. But what, if possible, but other than what you saw, what else struck you? What else caught your eye over the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, really, I just thought sort of a lackluster week one from the conference. I mean, really, there were three big games circled on my calendar, and the SEC dropped all three of them and dropped all three of them in convincing fashion. We mentioned LSU, South Carolina got exposed for having an insufficient supporting cast for Spencer Rattler. And then the aforementioned Florida result, which was about as bleak as possible. I guess, you know, on the flip side of that, I thought Jalen Milroe in Alabama, that we were led to believe that this was a competition right up until the end. And of course, Nick Saban didn't want to announce his starting quarterback. I never really bought that. I thought for a while now this was Milroe's job. I think we saw that come out into fruition on Saturday. You know, Milroe had the play throughout the first half, and Tyler Buchner didn't enter until midway through the third quarter. I thought Milroe was solid. I mean, we'll learn a lot more about him against Texas, but steady-handed, you know, dealt with some snap issues from the center, and I thought showed his composure in those situations, which was key. But what I'm interested to see this week with Alabama is, you know, we heard so much throughout the offseason, they want to get back to bully ball and really imposing their will at the line of scrimmage. I didn't feel like they were functioning at their peak in that area in week one, and that's going to be tested against Texas. And I mean, Texas is good on the defensive front. They were good last year. They gave Alabama all they could handle, and they needed a magician-type effort from Bryce Young to wriggle off the hook. Well, this team wants to win not with magicians but with bullies, and so let's see if they can do it against Texas, because that's the type of opponent that will put that to the test. But I thought Milroe was solid, and I think he showed you know, that the talk of a quarterback controversy or that competition, you know, really being nip and tuck, I don't know if I buy that. I think Milroe's the guy until proven otherwise.
Blake, a quick thought, and then we'll get to the final subject. But you mentioned South Carolina, and that was a little scary to me because I mean, everybody had their seat assured on the Beamer train, but coming out of that game, I mean, knowing what their schedule shows, it's hard to think. I mean, yeah, I know they're capable of things. They proved that last year, but where do you see them going from here?
It's tough because they have one of the toughest schedules of any SEC team this year, and that's not just conference schedule, but when you threw in those non-conference games against already North Carolina and then Clemson to bookend the season, like there's not a ton of margin for error for the Gamecocks, and I see a lot of ways after Saturday in which they can err. We all want to focus on the quarterback, right, and a couple of Spencer Rattler's decisions get overanalyzed to the nth degree, but that wasn't the problem for South Carolina. I mean, they have depth issues with the injuries. They continue to have offensive line struggles. That's been a bugaboo even predating Shane Beamer's arrival there, and that hasn't gotten better. And Spencer Rattler sacked 9 times, and they'll face better pass rushes than North Carolina. I'm not trying to take away anything from North Carolina. They got after it. Certainly, but that's not the most menacing pass rush they're going to face, and I don't think that's an offensive line issue that's going away for South Carolina. So, yeah, you start looking at the schedule, and it could get sideways in a hurry for South Carolina because they still have 3 SEC games on the schedule this month, and that includes Georgia and Tennessee. They've got Mississippi State as well, which that's probably a bit of a coin flip game. So, yeah, I mean, you don't have to really enter into crazy land to start looking, how this thing could get ugly for South Carolina in a hurry. And what was, you know, I think had hoped to be in Columbia, sort of positive momentum coming off the way they finished last season. But we don't really see any signs of that. I think we saw more signs for concern, particularly, you know, with that offensive line.
Well, ugly doesn't describe where we're going next. Billy Napier, the hot topic of the offseason, but we kept being told how things were going to be different under Graham Mertz. The recruiting is fantastic. And the fact that it was 4 or 5 days ago, I think, just lessens us talking about it much today. But there will be a lot of conversation in about a week and a half when Tennessee shows up there. Give us your analysis and a look ahead for what's in store for Billy Napier.
Yeah, I wrote this recently. When you're a struggling second-year coach, I think you can retain support in a couple different ways. I mean, ideally, you're winning games, right? Well, that's not happening right now for Florida. But sometimes, you know, I think if you can show administrators, boosters, and fans by the way you're playing, even in losses, you can retain support. Does the team appear to be just a few players away? Are they playing fundamentally sound? All that type of thing. Well, that's not what we saw from Florida on Thursday night. Like, this wasn't a team that looked like just a couple players away. This wasn't a team that was playing, fundamentally sound football that just needs a couple more blue chippers to become a contender. Like, no, that was penalties galore. So many special teams gaffes. You had to wonder who was in charge of that unit. The offensive line was infirm. The defense looked slow. I mean, and we didn't even get to the quarterback, right? Like, I thought Graham Mertz was pretty much what we knew him to be. Like, if you'd seen Graham Mertz over the 3 seasons he was a starter at Wisconsin, nothing we saw Thursday should come as a surprise. In fact, maybe my bar was set pretty low because I thought in some ways Graham Mertz kind of exceeded my expectations. He went for 300 plus yards. So I'm not saying he was great, but of all the issues I saw from Florida on Thursday, boy, I'd rattle off 4 or 5 before I even got to quarterback. And that's a schedule too, that it already looked like a tough road to hoe coming into the season. It looks even more difficult now. And I don't see a ton of answers right now within that roster. I mean, I know he's recruiting well, and that's great, but you got to get to that point. And again, I don't know that getting to that point means going 9-3, but you have to have some positivity out there on the field. You have to be convincing decision makers, your boosters, your fans, that this team's coming, that hey, just look to the future. 2024 is going to be bright. And we've seen seasons like that, right, where you don't have it all put together, but you're a year away. I don't know. That just didn't look like that to me on Thursday night. That looked like a team that's still a long, long ways away from being, I think, where that program wants it to be, and in a conference where you don't get much patience anymore, certainly not when you're in year two.
Yeah, when you're Billy Napier and you talk a really good game in the offseason, you don't need Labor Day conversations about what your buyout is. Blake, thank you very, very much. We appreciate it. We will see you soon. Always great to have you breaking everything down. Blake Topmeyer, of course, covering the game last night, getting his reaction, and we'll get yours right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. A lot of reaction to South Carolina. Let's get some more. Cat Daddy is up next.
Big bro, you looking good, sounding good, and I've caught H-E-double-L hockey sticks ever since Saturday night. People come in the liquor store. Clemson Tom, come in this liquor store. He got this horn on his van. Ba-da-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da. I could hear him before he walked in the store. Then as soon as he walks in, he's chanting, ACC, ACC. Man, I'm going to tell you what, at minus 2 yards rushing, something ain't right with Beamer ball.
Yeah, a lot's not right, Cat Daddy. And, I mean, they lost a game that would have given them so much momentum heading to Georgia, and they are in the most awkward position possible right now.
Yes, I guarantee you that. But, I mean, I was just so surprised. I would like to congratulate Mac Brown on his 100 wins. But I also suggest to Mac Brown, stay off the dance floor. You ain't got the moves, Mac.
Hey, Cat, give him – I mean, let him enjoy his moment. One thing I would like to add to that, and I'm glad Cat Daddy mentioned Mac Brown, but the star of that game wasn't Drake Mays. The star of the game Saturday night was Gene Shizik. He called a brilliant game on the defensive side of the ball. And really, you know, last year was a struggle, but he dialed it perfectly Saturday night. Thanks for the call. Speaking of that, David is in North Carolina. Hello, David.
How you doing, Brother Paul? How are you doing today, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I'm so grateful to hear that. Brother Paul, I'm a student at Duke Divinity School. I'm training to be a pastor at a wonderful seminary at a top-tier university. And, brother, I just have a sneaking suspicion from the Lord. You know, we walk by faith and not by sight, so perhaps the Lord revealed it to me in a vision. But I have a sneaking suspicion that my Blue Devils are going to upset Clemson and shock the nation tonight.
David, it's funny. I talked to a friend of mine on the Clemson side yesterday, and they are very nervous about this game. And a lot of
as
it has to do with
be, brother.
The Duke quarterback is really one of the most unknown quarterbacks in the country. But when do you get out of school? How much longer do you have?
Yes, sir. I'm just starting a 3-year program. So say a prayer for me, brother.
Well, I will. And all the very best, David. Thanks so much for sharing that message. Let's continue. Jim is in Virginia. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Hal. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm an Alabama fan, but I grew up and live in ACC country. I have a degree from Virginia Tech and Virginia. And I just want you to put yourself in Greg Sankey's place, or maybe James Phillips. Is that the ACC commissioner?
Yeah, Jim Phillips is his name.
Yeah. And the games, Florida State's game with LSU, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia Tech played well on Friday night, Clemson plays tonight. With the realignment stuff, just watching those games, how do you think those two commissioners feel about the future? And do you think, you know, they really want to pull some of those teams to the SEC? Is the ACC going to fight to keep them? And how does this play out on the first week, you know?
Well, Jim, the big issue really is, you know, the grant of rights, which would cost more than $100 million unless some legal shenanigans occur. It was a really great night for the ACC, but the problem isn't, or the opportunity isn't what happened Saturday night in Charlotte or Sunday night in Orlando. It's what the ACC did last week, which is causing so much heartache. And the idea that the ACC has invited SMU, Cal and Stanford it really has ostracized the league from the three most valuable members, Florida State, North Carolina, and Clemson. And I think all three really won out. I don't have any doubt about that. And, you know, so results are not going to factor in. Greg Sankey, he's not going, man, we got to get FSU in because they beat LSU. Those are never factors. They're far more comprehensive. But I do think FSU made a statement, though, and they needed to because they are on the hoof right now after all the statements that Drew Weatherford and the president and others have made. And their value is going up, and that's really where the action is, trying to raise money, trying to make themselves worth more and get out of the ACC, which I think they desperately want to do. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Myth is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Myth.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for taking my call. How should I say? Hey, real quick. So I brought up Prime earlier before the season started. Is Colorado that big? Can they do this?
Well, Myth, I think anybody who knows the answer to that is fooling themselves. I think you have to let this thing develop week to week and not give Nebraska. They're playing Nebraska this week. That's a team they should win, a game they should win. But Nebraska is coming off of a stinging loss. Their season is somewhat on the line. And I think every week will be very close. I don't think Colorado is one of the best teams in the country. I think Prime is the biggest name in college football right now. I will give him that. Hey, thank you very, very much. Lou is in Tennessee. Lou, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
You know, I had a whole bunch of notes written on the palm of my hand. I washed them off because I'm getting ready to fire up a barbecue grill. But the first thing I wanted to say to you was that I thought the greatest thing about opening day this Saturday, well, actually, I guess it was last week, but, you know, big hats off to the families, the fans, the kids, to the University of Virginia and Mississippi State for what they had to go through. I mean, they had to start a something that we all love, and I love it more than anything else in the world. I look forward to August and the end of August and Labor Day. My birthday was September 2nd. It's a great weekend for me. I'm a diehard
Lou
fan.
Let me jump in here quickly because we're running out of time. But first of all, happy birthday, and thank you for the call. And thank you for mentioning that. We addressed the Virginia tragedy with Joe Tessitore the other day and talked about the Mike Leach situation. But those were somber and solemn moments at the beginning of a celebratory time.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.